Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
What do we... do we say that he's with a necromancer as
no,
his new friends?
I don't think...
Okay, well, what do we say? We need to know who these friends are.
Do we?
Oh, well, I don't know that we do.
He's a grown-ass man.
It's true.
Okay.
Moot, Glim, and Sully, what brings you to our fair city of Darabont?
We are here to help to reunite the kingdoms through the power of communication.
My brothers believe that they can only trade with these three territories.
If I can just fill in a bit of the blanks here, what you're saying is that they're dumb.
Yes.
I just have a quick question.
Sure.
What's a night glam?
A night garm.
Yes.
Night garm.
That's what I said.
How would you describe it, Terry?
Well, it's a more of a, I don't know if it's a lycanthrope, but it's a more of a wolf humanoid creature.
Oh.
Hey, little buddy.
Kind of frozen still.
Well, I feel so bad shaking my staff at him now.
I look at Terry to see if it's him.
Wasn't me.
Shaggy, that's what you should name the dog.
This hulking, bipedal wolf creature explodes out onto the path before you. I'm gonna have to remember that one. Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him, also with me today is Carla Maxted.
She, her, playing Glim, a Dragonborn Paladin.
And Tom Laird.
He, him, and I'm playing Moot, who also goes by he, him, and is a half-orc wild magic sorcerer.
And Amy Moore.
That's me, she, her, and I play Sullivan Slight, a Lightfoot halfling rogue, he, him.
Thanks for coming tonight, everybody. I brought you together here to play a game.
What?
This game.
I was told there'd be
all right,
pizza.
Jigsaw.
That's right. You want to play a game?
No.
Might
no, thank
be
you.
A big wolf creature with a
oh,
hinge
okay.
jaw
fine.
Coming
yeah?
your way.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm into that.
I'll do
I just
that.
Didn't want to have to saw off a leg or whatever happens.
Yeah,
in
no, that's yeah. that's weird. We don't
Carrie
do that.
Carrie
Elvis
made it look real painful. And...
We're playing Dungeons and Dragons, not Facing Fate tonight, okay?
Oh, okay,
right.
good.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, go listen to Facing Fate.
That's we great.
Are releasing episodes
it.
Maybe when this comes. No, probably not, actually. But, you know, we have released a lot of episodes.
Yes, like three seasons.
Four.
And a mini.
Some mini
and
stuff.
And a mini. Yeah,
yes.
yeah absolutely. So, yeah, we'd love for you to go check that out. Facing Fate. We play over there, too. That's the tagline for
yeah.
it. That's the one. We play over
yeah.
there, too.
We play over there, too.
If you like what we're doing here or on Facing Fate, you can pick which one you like the best. Come join us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where when you are a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron.
I really thought he'd be more on the ball.
I flipped the page.
He has like 9 books, which doesn't bode well for our characters being alive at the end of this encounter, but...
I let you level up last one. Like today's patron, Perry Matey.
Thanks, Perry.
Thanks, Perry.
You're awesome. Yep.
You are awesome. Agreed.
I really thought Russ was going to say Perry Mason.
Me too.
It was a bit of a fake out. Another celebrity?
Even a fictional one. Another fictional celebrity.
I love it when fictional celebrities.
Nope. Perry Matey, and I hope I said that right. Thank you for joining us on patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We hope to see you over there, where we have hangouts and cool stuff like that. Now, fuck it, let's play.
So we've defeated the monster.
We cut to
back with Queen Calicris being heralded for our great success.
They're already putting up the stained glass.
Yes, and she's so happy with her new dog.
So happy. Trees explode out into...
So close. We almost had them, guys.
Yeah. Look, I did a lot of cutscenes. We cut a lot of the fat in the last one. Now we got to have some battles. Trees explode out into the path before you, and you see this hulking, wolf-like creature that stands 10 feet tall. It's got abs on abs, baby.
Shredded like a Ninja Turtle.
Its huge claws look like they could pick you up and crush your skull, and its giant maw opens wide, letting out a guttural growl that you smell the stench of death that washes over you. Now, we've already rolled initiative. Glim, what do you do?
I'm going to rush forward and take a swing with my Vorpal sword.
All right. Roll to hit.
15?
Hits.
Great. 15 damage.
What type of damage?
Slashing damage.
Is it magical slashing damage?
Oh, it maybe is. Doesn't say. It just
says.
I don't think it's magical until you find the pair to it. Yes.
Well, we got to find that second sword.
We really do. But for now, just standard slashing damage.
All right. You go up and you cut into like the side of this creature, and some blood begins to pour out over the fur, and it turns and it looks at you with its beady, glowing red eyes.
Moot, do something cool.
Hey, Moot, hit him bad and like really distract him or something.
Okay, I got a little something for that. I am going to hit it with Mind Sliver.
All right.
Ooh, that sounds annoying.
So I drive a spike of psychic energy into the mind of one creature I can see within range, which obviously will be the werewolf dude. He must make a intelligence saving throw or takes some psychic damage and is penalized on his next saving throw roll it makes.
Ew. Well, he rolled a 10, or it rolled a 10.
That will not be enough to succeed in dodging this one. So it is going to take 6 psychic damage.
Nice.
All right.
It's fun.
And Russ, if you have to make a saving throw before the end of your next turn at all, you need to subtract 1d4 from it.
Okay, so with Popcorn Initiative, instead of the end of the next turn, it'll be the end of the next round. So we'll go through this round, but then also carry into the next round.
Perfect.
Move around where everybody goes.
And I look towards Sully and I say, now?
And he's already booking it as Moot cast his spell. Sully dashes behind him, and he's going to attack with both of his daggers from behind, doing a sneak attack.
Yeah, go for it. Awesome.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay, I'm doing it. So first I'm going to attack with my daggers. So the first one is a 19, and the second one is a 15.
Yeah, both hit.
7 damage for one. 11 damage for the other, and then I get an extra 2d6 damage because it is a sneak attack.
Damn, Sully can pack some heat now.
And that's another 4.
It flinches under this jab into its side and lets out a howl. that echoes through the trees.
Like, can Sally back up after he's stabbed? Is that a thing?
Bonus action. Yeah. Disengage.
Well, no. My bonus action, I dashed.
Oh, then you can't.
Well, can't I use my action in combat to disengage?
You used your combat actions to
attack.
As to attacking.
Him. Okay, well, then I'm just stuck in the back of him with my two.
Okay. Hanging on.
Hanging on. Actually, how tall is he? I bet I'm just getting, what am I here?
You're just right in the butt. I think you're like thick of the butt.
I want to go thighs.
Or maybe you were like airborne and now you're like attached to its back.
Oh God, with my face just in the crack of its ass. Oh, just, Sully.
It's just that's, yep.
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 Yeah, you don't need to describe it. We can all imagine it. Terry!
Oh, help!
All right, it's Terry's time. Terry pulls out his weapon and yells, "If you have silver or radiance, use it." And he's using his leadership command. Any non-hostile creature, so basically all of you, you can add a d4 to your roll.
Ooh. I'm assuming like saving and or attack roll?
Attack roll or saving throw. You can roll a d4. And he's going to move in and try to swing in with his sword, which you might now put together has some silver to it. That's a 16 plus 5, 21 to hit. So he's going to strike in for 10 damage, but because it's silvered, it gives him 20 damage.
Ooh.
And it cuts deep, and like you see the flesh like sizzle, or you hear it sizzle as this blade cuts into it, and it cut way deeper than anything that you had dealt to it previously. And it reaches down and bats hard at Terry. That's a 24 to hit.
Yikes.
So that's going to be 15 damage, slashing damage. And Terry is grappled in the Nightgarm's claw. And he turns and looks at you, Glim, and gives you this like defiant look deep into your eyes as he squeezes hard into Terry.
Okay, I'm going to attack again with my Vorpal sword, but I am also going to give a quick shout out to my main man, Bahamut, so that I can cast Divine Favor and also get 1d4 radiant damage, you know, if I successfully attack.
Sure. As you do.
16.
Yep.
14 slashing plus 2 radiant damage.
And as you take that swing, you hear more movement in the trees around you. You don't see anything, but you hear movement getting closer to your location.
Everybody watch your back. Sully, get off of there.
I got it under control, I think.
And Sully is going to... Can I sneak attack again?
Yeah, you're at its back and it's flanked by two other...
Can you stick a dagger right up its taint? Right, just reach under.
Well, what I was going to do is...
We call that the Sully special.
Sully's going to start to, like, mountain climber, like, ooh, take one dagger out and put it up as he's, like, trying to climb up this.
Okay.
So I don't know if that counts as attacking or if that's just the way he's trying to move upward and just so happens to be hurting it.
Russ, can you put in the mountain climber yodel music from Price is Right for this?
Yes. Yes, I can. I'm sure they won't have a problem with it. I would still count it as an attack because Basically you're riding a bucking bronco at this point who's been being cut into from all sides. So there
it's
is a chance
to be him.
There is a chance that you could miss.
Okay. Well, that was a nat 1-on-1.
But you get your halfling luck bonus.
I get my halfling luck.
You are at its back, though, and it can't see you. So you do have advantage.
Fair enough.
I'll re-roll that one.
So I say use the halfling luck bonus and then also compete between the two for advantage after that.
Okay. Okay. Well, this one then turned into a 17 plus 7 is 24.
Yeah.
And then the next one is a 25.
And both of those will hit.
Nice.
Handily.
Okay. Oh, that was a 4. So it's 9 for 1. There's another 4. Another 9. So that's 18. And then 2d6. So the 24 poking damage as I make my way up the back of this wolf
being. It's slick and the blood is running down my front as I clamber my way up, sticking it between ribs as I go. Actually, I'm probably only near like hips, sticking it into his love handles. He doesn't have those. He's got abs on abs, sticking it right into muscle, which hurts a lot more.
Loved it. Love that whole description.
I know. I don't know who to throw it to next. It'll probably be like, that's gotta hurt. I bet it would be the creature's turn.
Okay. Two things happen. Everything goes dark, but just before that, you see people begin to come out of the trees. Six of them. And then everything goes dark. Sully, you feel the claw reaching for you. It's only 14.
Oh, doesn't beat.
Yeah, you feel the claw like reaching back, trying to grab you off of its back, but just missing. You hear Terry in the darkness say, that looked like people that went missing. And he's going to swing with disadvantage at where he thought the creature was.
Dangerous time to be on a creature's back. Mm. Oh, it's a real dangerous time to be on a creature's back.
Terry connects with Sully. I'm going to roll it because that means it could be lower than that. Is 7 slashing damage.
Ow, my God, what the? Oh. And I kick, and I just kick wildly, and I think I was swinging around as it was, so I think he probably slashes me down my calf. What the fuck is going on down there?
Roll a d20.
I will. It's a 10.
You feel your foot connect with Terry's sword, and then you hear it fall to the ground. Moot, I saw you do some magic. You think you got anything that can take care of this?
What's this? I don't know what you're talking about.
Darkness, you bitch! It's darkness!
It's dark. It's really dark. I can't see anything. Can you see things? Is this not affecting you? That depends where you were standing, because you were doing a ranged...
Yeah, I would be a little bit removed from the free-for-all on the fucking werewolf boy.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, just the free-for-all.
15-foot radius, so you actually might be outside of it. So you would see this orb of darkness kind of, as it was cast, expand out, but you also see all of these people. They are people, but they're just kind of slowly walking towards the darkness and towards the action before you.
Do they look like they have their own free will about them?
Make an insight check.
Insight plus 2, so 18.
You get the feeling that they're under a thrall of some sort. You can't tell exactly what their goal is, but they are walking towards the creature and towards your friends in the middle of this darkness.
Moot takes out his floppy sun hat and also grabs a handful of moss as he's doing this from his spell component belt. And he casts light on the hat. So the object will shed a bright light in a 20-foot radius and in a dim light for an additional 20 feet.
All right.
And this light will be as bright white as she can go.
Just crank it up.
Just crank it up. And he will pull the sun hat on his head and walk a little bit closer to where all y'all are.
Like a fucking god out of the darkness. Comes Moot in a sun hat.
That's right.
Okay, so you're wearing the hat, walking closer, not into the mix. Until you can see your friends. Okay, yeah, absolutely. I love
rolled
that.
A 17, so Moot's fine.
Still good. Okay. We also have now these humans in the mix, and they were added in during this rotation, so they would have to go to finish out this round.
So I guess the humans are up next.
All right. They see this light emitted, and two of them turn towards you, and the others move towards the main battle. The ones moving towards the main battle are reaching towards all of you. Glim, you feel hands on you that are begin trying to pull you. They're not like punching or kicking or anything. They begin trying to pull you and try to pull you to the ground. Sully, you feel them grabbing your legs, trying to pull you down. And Terry, you see him with two of them, and then two going to Moot. Everybody make a strength
check. Not a saving throw, because there's no real damage being dealt here, but just a strength check against them. We'll go.
My best one.
Remember that we have that leadership bonus if needed.
Ooh, what is that?
An extra D4.
Oh, that's not going to be enough.
21.
Okay.
I'm going to use that leadership bonus, and with the extra 3, it's a 17.
Even if I max out my leadership bonus, I'd only get an 8, so I'm going to just hold on to it.
Glim, you easily overpower. Describe how you overpower this human, like what you do.
I think sort of that movement you just made, they're pulling at my back, and I just am like throwing the bows backwards and just like, get out of here. Still focused on my friend on the back of this scary creature.
Moot, you managed to knock one off, but the other one like gives you a hard shove and knocks you prone. How close exactly were you, like, to the point where you could just see them, or?
No, I went so that it was, like, at least visible for all of them.
About 15 feet. Okay, then, yeah, you can still, there's still light amongst the crowd. Sully, you are pulled off.
I would like to wonder, if I may, if I hold on tightly to my daggers, do they pull through the creature and give damage as I'm ripped off of him?
Sure. I'll give you 2d4 plus 1 modifier.
So that's 10.
And Terry's brought down hard. You hear his plate mail fall and see him fall because the light's there now. Sully, I think you would go next. You're pulled off. Your blades tear through the back of this creature who takes some additional damage. You now have... I picture he pulled you down by the legs, so you're like on your stomach. I don't think you landed gracefully.
He is going to grab his frightful sword of reflection and just try to slash at the dudes who pulled him down. That wasn't great. An 11. No, that's not math. 10.
10 hits. They are, yeah, completely unarmored.
Oh, poor bastards. That's 7 slashing damage.
Okay.
Oh, no, piercing.
Some piercing damage. Yeah, you stab into this person, like they go limp and fall to the ground.
Glim, you okay? Wait, no, who needs to go?
Everybody, now we're at the top of a new round.
Oh. Glim.
Who needs to go, Sully?
Well, I have to pee, but you know, we'll deal with
the
that
armor.
After.
With yeah. The armor.
Should have taken my 15.
Terry, you okay?
Yeah, I can handle this. So I will.
And he kind of reaches back for his blade, which was thrown to the ground, and manages to grab it and swings into this person and strikes them hard and says, "Sorry!" They're a bloody mess. And he stands back up.
I want to light somebody up.
I apparently have one more action that I haven't been using, so I'm going to do that too.
Terrence.
Sorry. It's only a 14. So I'm all flustered. I'm giving it a haircut. You light something up.
Now that Sully is not on the back of the creature, I am going to try to burn it with my fire breath.
Ooh, yeah.
So it needs to make a dex save. Too bad.
11.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, I'm here to play for you.
I didn't realize I just had to say do bad, and then you would.
I was going to say we were one round past where my spell was still affecting it on ability rolls.
So that is going to be 11 fire damage.
Like the smell of like wet, burnt hair now fills this area.
Moot, your hat looks great. What else can you do?
I don't know. I'm on the ground. Is anything else around me, or is it just the one person?
There are... two near you. You kind of nudged one back. They didn't really overpower you, but the other one managed to push you down. So there are two in your direct vicinity.
Okay, so two within 5 feet.
Was there one like crouching on the ground behind him that he got pushed over? Were
yes,
they
that's why.
Organized?
That's why it didn't work. Yeah.
Pranksters.
There's a whole Three Stooges bit.
In the middle.
Whoa. Uh-oh.
Yes.
You can put out your own words to that?
Is this the last episode? Because we finally actually used Jimmy Eat World the Middle, and I feel like, where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here?
Not to make light of people having strokes, but Russ, were you having a stroke then?
Solid question. I was right beside him wondering the same thing.
No, I just...
Did he get the droopy face? Can he lift his arms above his head?
Yeah, he's okay.
It's time to act fast, Amy.
He's okay.
I'm doing okay.
Okay.
I'm doing
chew
okay.
on this Tylenol.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know if that's what you get for a stride. I think that's a heart attack.
Aspirin and a heart attack.
That's a heart attack. All right.
I'm sure it couldn't hurt for a stroke either.
Well, hopefully Russ is singing didn't give you a heart attack because you're here in the middle.
We're here in the middle where we want to talk to you about a lovely show that we think you love, that we think you will love, which is Bombarded, which includes one of our best friends, Kyle Classett, Ally Grant, Spurrier, Goodrich, all those good, good folks. Amy's losing it over there.
I guess it's sort of a dichotomy. Either you've listened to it and you do love it, or you haven't listened to it and you will love it. Everyone That's on earth right. falls into one of those two categories.
It's a Venn diagram where everyone ends up in the middle anyways.
It's a music.
It's the middle.
What?
What? Oh. We found our way back. Mm. It's a musical D&D podcast where three bards try and save the world, you know, in their own kind of way, but play live music throughout the podcast. And that part is really just super freaking cool.
Well, not just live music either, like originally created scores and lyrics by these wonderfully talented people.
They will roll dice to get their chords, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, they got special chord dice that they roll up and then take a brief break from recording and then come back and sing that song and then are judged by Kyle on how well they did, which then determines the outcome of whatever whatever the encounter is.
Such a fun way to play.
It's right? so fun. It feels so high risk to me, but that's because I am not a musician, and it's such a good idea.
Go check out Bombarded. We've got a link down in the description where you can click through and find it, or you can just search for Bombarded. Just like that.
Emphasis on the bard.
Big old bard right in the middle there. Wherever you listen to podcasts, do it. And now, it's not over yet.
Oh.
We want to let you know that we have...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the end of Return of the King, where it's like, fade to white. No, we're back. Fade again. No.
We also want to let you know about a super special offer that we got going on Patreon. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where you can get 2 months free subscription.
Yes. If you sign up for an annual membership, then you don't pay for 2 months of it. It's such a good deal.
Yeah, you'll pay for 10 out of 12, which is a pretty great.
One of the great things, it encompasses several of the great things that we do over on Patreon are the community events, like the hangouts, mm-hmm. the sometimes live streams, the Discord chitter chatter that happens where people feed us TikToks of super sweet archery.
Thanks,
That's
Jess.
Mostly for Carla. Yes, thank you, Jess. All the memes, all the questions that we get over there. It's really a great place, not just for patrons, but for us. And we thank you so much for being there for all of that. And you can be a part of it, too. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where when you sign up for an annual membership, you can get 2 months free right up until the end of October. So go do so. We would love you for it. We love you anyways.
Yeah.
Yes. Our love is not contingent.
No.
Just wanted to let you know about the special sale going on.
Because there's cool stuff over there, and we would love it if you love that, too.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
But wait, there's more.
Oh my God.
I'm kidding. Now it's over. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I'm going to, cross my arms in front of me and then, kind of shoot them back out, and I will cast Sword Burst. And I create a momentary circle of spectral blades that sweep around me, and all creatures within 5 feet must roll a dex saving throw or take some damage.
Love it when the spellcaster gets some new spells that we get to hear about. It's so fun.
We got a 6 and a 5.
I mean, neither one of those are great, Russ.
Yep, I figured.
Really aiming it up
tonight. My do bad held over. It goes
it's
for
a
the
whole
round.
Round.
Yeah. Yeah. It's till the end of the round.
Yeah,
okay,
it's like
perfect.
Leadership. Yeah.
Now's the time to get it, people. They each take, should I roll damage separately for them or just the same one for
just
both?
Just the same one for both.
Okay, well, they each take 5 force damage.
They both fall to the ground as this is blasting. I picture it blast them back and they hit the tree stump and appear unconscious.
They kind of throw a thumbs up towards Glim. And I guess it's the big bad monster's turn?
It's going to try to bite Glim. That's a 23.
He does bite with his big, scary teeth.
Got some chompers.
Yep.
I hope it doesn't make that gulping noise as he swallows you whole. You have to fight your way from the inside out.
What? 25 piercing damage.
Oh my god.
Jesus.
And you have to make a strength saving throw.
Yikes.
Or be eaten alive.
Be swallowed whole.
Oh my gosh. Oh my god. Do it, Glim.
That's pretty wild because I am big. So he's so big. Oh my god. I don't have that. It doesn't matter. Even if I did have it, because it still is only 6.
Everybody else sees this creature.
Glim,
like,
you are so much stronger than that. Come on.
Take a step back.
Can I help?
No, she's gone. Take a step back, unhinge its jaw, like unspeakably and impossibly wide, and clamp down around Glim and lift her up, and like in one gulp, she's gone.
Well, podcast over. Russ just keeps killing off Carla's characters.
Right?
You're not dead yet.
Also, just can't anymore.
The thing's like 10 feet tall. I think I'm like 7 feet tall.
I said
like
12.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry.
I said 12.
Still. It's crazy.
It's true. The mechanics of this are quite...
It's really something.
Fantasy
I know. I
mechanics.
Love it.
I've imagined this creature so much taller in my description, but I guess Sully is much smaller.
For you, yes.
So,
that's
like,
it.
He really is like mountain climbing up this thing. For you, it's just like, what up?
That said, yeah, you're probably your feet are sticking out of its mouth. But yeah, it's like swallowed the majority of you. The other two humans are going to just kind of stand and watch. They're not going to do anything.
Perverts.
I hope my scales cause a lot of indigestion.
You hear off into the trees like a thunderous cacophony of like busting down of trees, like something big is coming fast. Glim, it's your turn.
Well, I don't hear that. I just hear like wet gooshing noises.
So as you are swallowed... A swallowed creature is blinded and restrained, has total cover against attacks and other effects outside the Nightgarm. It takes acid damage at the start of each of the Nightgarm's turns. At the start of each of the Nightgarm's turns, so not your turn.
Yeah, but if she's blinded and restrained...
You just roll with... Well, I mean...
What can she do?
Well,
stab wildly.
Don't open your mouth. But you're restrained. Can you stab if you're restrained?
Yeah,
you had your weapon in your hand, right?
Yeah, I did have my weapon in my hand. Yeah. Wish I hadn't used that fire. It'd be pretty dope right now,
pretty
but
dope inside.
Too bad.
Yeah. You got spells and stuff, too.
Well,
can you
I
radiate
do.
From the inside?
Should I try to speak with animals from inside?
Oh, I don't know if you want to open your mouth.
I don't. I don't want to open my mouth. But I can... Let's see how this plays out.
All right.
I'm going to channel divinity, nature's wrath.
Okay.
So I'm going to cause spectral vines to spring up and reach for a creature.
Okay.
They have to succeed on a strength or dex saving throw. But these are inside it. So how does that work, Russ?
Okay.
Oh, I'm on board.
So normally it would try to break free of them with that strength or dex save.
I don't think it can because it's coming from inside of it. So
the call's coming from inside the house.
I was just going to say that. Get out of my head, Tom.
I won't. I love it in there.
How I picture this, and you can feel free to correct me if you don't like it, but these vines, like you can feel them, Glim, begin to emerge from like inside this stomach that you find yourself in and shoot out of the creature. Everybody else, you see these vines, like thorny, blood-covered vines, shoot out of the stomach of this creature who lets out an enormous roar and like painful.
Can it though? It's got a mouthful of Glim.
It's like, oh,
it's got a stomach full of Glim.
Stop.
As like its abs on abs are shredded apart, and then these vines like wrap around and begin to compress where Glim is not. So give me, is there damage for that? Or
there's not damage.
Well, there's
normally
be damage.
It would just be
restrained.
Let's
but
roll,
I guess,
you know, let's just roll 2d10 and see what happens.
I mean, if you're getting all vined from the inside,
right? Out. Like, that seems like bad
news.
Bad.
It's really bad. 14.
It's going to make a con save.
It didn't beat the hit point threshold that it has in the monster book, but I feel like fine shooting out of a stomach is an exception to that rule, and it failed its con save, so you are projected out, back out of this creature, 10 or 15 feet away and land hard on the ground, your blade down on the ground beside you. As you see what you have created as this creature is being like constricted from the inside out, basically.
Ew, I wonder if that's like how a caterpillar makes a cocoon.
Ugh.
Who you want to go next?
I think Terry, because he, yeah.
Terry turns to you and says, I don't know if I can recreate that noise, but I will try. And he's going to swing, not well, one of his greatsword hits.
But like this thing is still being constrained?
He gets one hit, kind of on this second hit that actually connects. He turns and you hear this thunderous, Glim, you now hear it for the first time, but this thunderous stampede through the trees. And before you is this like furry 20-foot tall, what looks like 4,000-pound creature that emerges from the forest beside you, busts through and into the midst of this and picks up the night garm, and where it's already being torn apart, shreds it in two and throws the pieces at the remaining two humans. And it turns and begins to look at all of you with this... Let's say Sully go next. Make a perception roll.
That is a 5.
Everybody else make a perception roll.
12.
16.
The three of you look at this creature, and although the creature is huge and hulking and terrifying, like it has long claws and fangs out of this muzzle that comes out of this long, wiry, matted hair. The eyes look familiar, though.
Aw, Scruffy.
Almost saucer-like.
Holy shit, what the fuck is this? And I take my sword of reflection, frightful reflection, and start to advance on the beast.
Wait.
What?
Wait.
Why?
Do you... Do any of you see?
It's Scruffy, or Scrappy, or Scraps,
it's
or
the dog from the
Marky Bark.
Marky Bark. This is it. I pictured
look at the
him
eyes,
and we have a moment where his eyes look into my eyes.
Roll.
My eyes look into his eyes.
Animal handling.
1.
Oh God.
Which you will reroll.
No, can't be it.
Because of your
bonus.
It was
a 2, but I had a -1. So I don't think that counts.
I don't think it does either.
I don't see it.
No, I think it is.
Does 17 hit?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You're going to take 18 bludgeoning damage.
But why the fuck?
Because you looked at it funny.
Too much eye contact.
Yeah.
Sully is struck hard by this creature and thrown against a tree.
Glim, do you have any more of that food?
Scruffy, come on. Barky Bark. Thomas, I don't know what you want your name to be, but here. And I find some more of my beef jerky or
it hears the crinkle of the wrapper and turns and looks at you. Roll animal handling. And with
reason
advantage.
I didn't get a snack upstairs because I knew the minute I busted into those gummies.
Everything.
Only 11.
It turns quickly and looks at you, and there's this panic in its eyes, and then it softens. And then you see it slowly begin to move towards you, and as you hold out the food towards it, it takes it in one of its giant claws and turns and begins to eat it. Like it's a small piece of food compared to this creature, but just like starts shoving it in its mouth. And you see it begin to shrink in size. You hear bones and flesh popping as it moves down back to the small dog you found in the brush. It turns and comes over to you, Glim.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for eating that gross thing that was trying to eat me.
I'm going to go over and help Sully up.
Yeah, and what's happening with the people?
This dog hulking creature threw the two pieces at the two remaining people.
Mm.
Everybody that you can see looks dead, but they don't appear normal in death. Like, their blood runs more black than red. As they die, you see where any wounds open up, like quicker decay.
Sully, are you okay?
I'm fine. I had Wes.
We tried to tell you it was the dog.
What?
See, it's the dog.
Well, it didn't look like the dog. It looked like the not dog. Listen, I can't do this right now. I'm tired.
Okay, well, you just, you know, maybe, here, you sit up and don't fall asleep. That's going to be very important right now. And I'll just hang here with you, and I'll keep you company, keep you awake.
Okay.
Scene fades out on everybody and the gore around them, and we cut back to the castle where the three of you and the dog and Terry are not in that hallway, but in another section of the building, watching as the artist is putting in a panel of stained glass of the four of you taking down this night garm.
They do quick work here.
Yeah, no, they move fast.
You made it onto the wall, Terry?
I did. I did make it onto the wall. I mean, thankfully not up in the rafters yet. That was, was a close one for some of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
What kind of sounds did you hear from the inside?
It was like, you ever swim underwater?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that sort of deafness in your ears, you know?
Right.
But then a lot of just like real scooching kind of sounds, and just, it was so wet and smelly, and it really, I don't recommend it.
This is going to be a very 4D experience I'm going to have to give at this next puppet show.
Dungeons & Dragons Season 2, Episode 95 is starring Amy Moore as Sully, Carla Maxted as Glim, Tom Laird as Moot, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Editing, production, and sound design is by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Kevin MacLeod and Epidemic Sound, and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Stevie, Jacob Madden, Devin Michaels, Christian Brown, Aaron Stevens, Lou Lahan, and Charlie Warley. Support Dungeons & Dragons and our many other productions and get access to an exclusive podcast and bonus episodes, all while helping us unlock the special Grants' Flamekins episode, Escaping the Abyss, when we reach 100 patrons at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. You can also follow us at facebook.com/dumbdragoncast and on Instagram and Twitter @dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon.
Well, I'm a level 4 character, so that's all I can do. Kay. That's all I got.
Who goes next?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I rolled the wrong dice. Good thing I rolled really shittily last time, you guys. So sorry. My daggers are 1d4s.
Yeah? What'd you roll?
I rolled a 1d6. Oh, jeez. But I definitely got below 4 for both.
Yeah, you did. Well, you got an 11 on one.
Oh, that means I got one more. You can subtract one from here for really doing it.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Broadcasting, this is Roger Bergato Fisher, communications, something, Moonbase, wherever.
You guys can sort out the next thing. I need to get the rover checked and loaded. Jung?
On it, boss.
Excuse me?
If communication still makes a difference at this point in the plot, if we can keep this base or this moon together long enough to be a thing.
I changed my direction. I worked my way down. I took those scraps, the bits they'd forgotten about or thrown away, and I built my own place. Still inside, but within the shadows.
All my thoughts, my hopes, all of my heart is on a makeshift rocket hurtling towards us with the most precious of cargo.
We'll definitely deserve a celebration.
Not like yours. You and your boy down there? I hope he's got a private room waiting.
It'll be enough to be close again. Ah, meu amado.
When I have Alex back in my arms, maybe then I can think about resistance.
We've kept the corporations at arm's length longer than most.
Well, whatever you're building, here or wherever, I'm in.
Any way we can help.
It feels like we're approaching the closing stage of this journey. The final stop. But either way, it's been one hell of a story. And either way, it ends with Alex.
Moonbase Theta out. The final season. Broadcasting on your podcast feeds starting August 14th. For early access, join us at patreon.com/monkeymanproductions.
Moonbase Theta out.